Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome back to a new episode of the show. This week, we're talking about some of the fantastic, fun moments from the playoffs from around the league. Obviously, you're going to talk about what's dope about the NBA and dig a little bit deeper into the mind of our guest today, podcast producer, actually one of the producers of this show and the host of his very own show, Jabari Ollie Davis. I'm Miles Gray.
I'm Jack O'Brien.
And this is Miles
and Jack.
Got mad
boosties.
Crushed it. Okay, everybody. Welcome.
We are here.
Yes.
We are doing it.
Yeah.
It is the playoffs.
Yes.
Who better to have fun?
Who better to have than you and I? Oh, you mean the guest, of course.
No, I was just talking about you and me.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Who's the guest? Who we got?
Someone we know very well. Someone who we've actually known for a few years. He's been a guest on our other podcast, The Daily Zeitgeist.
Never heard of it.
Very well known in the NBA world, especially if you're writing about the NBA. Maybe you're on NBA Twitter. Maybe you like NBA podcasts, because this man is also the host of the new podcast, NBA Finals File, with Robert Ori. Please welcome Jabari Ollie Davis.
What?
What's up, Jabari?
Hey, you guys. Appreciate you having me.
Wait, am I reading this right?
I'm here to save you.
Appreciate you having
me. All right.
It's good to have you. That's cool that you are hosting with Big Shot Rob.
Yeah.
Big Shot Bob. He's good at basketball and knows a thing or two. He's been in the finals before, right?
Yeah, at the time he retired, I think he had played in and won 12% of the all NBA finals.
Yeah.
That's so wild.
Wait, that's real, huh?
No, that's real.
Yeah, yes. I'm actually doing the math and I was like, oh no, that's facts.
Mm-hmm. That's got to be hard, because like on this show, like I can just say whatever I want because, you know, Miles has been in. I haven't run the math recently, but I don't think his percentage of NBA finals is quite that high. So I feel like I can just say anything and not be contradicted. But like when you're talking to one of the all-time GOATs of NBA playoff basketball, how do you feel about that?
I'm going to be honest with you. I play it pretty straight. Like I told him from the start, I'm an NBA fanatic. I told him from the, you know, where else.
But not
from
a fan of yours.
Yeah, you know, he's okay. He's all right.
Lifelong Laker fan. Can't really remember anything where you really got the hairs to stand up on my neck or anything.
No, but all jokes aside, like he's fantastic. It's one of those where he lies to me and says stuff like, hey, I'm a fan of yours too. And you know, that makes me, and you know what? That does it shows me he's been a part of teams.
Yes.
He's been an integral part of teams.
He's like, let me give the young fella a little bit of confidence real quick. No, that's good. Yeah, all right, young man. You're like, thank you, Robert.
as somebody who has talked to Robert Ori before, because that is something that we talk about on this show sometimes, is like the intangible, those things where, you know, everybody, all the ink gets used up by the, like, oh, they added this blue chip and like that will give them a big three and therefore they're going to contend next year. And, you know, at least during his career, the thing they should have just been tracking is, oh, they added Robert Ori. He wins almost every year that he's on a team. So, like, do you have a theory of the case of, like, what it is other than, you know, him just being Big Shot Bob Ori?
I already let him know, like, for one, he is the NBA equivalent of, like, remember the old Kevin Bacon game, 6 degrees of separation, yep. You know, with Kevin Bacon. He, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's him. He comes into the league. He competed against Jordan. He competed against, you know, all of the greats of the mid and late 90s. He plays alongside Akeem. He plays alongside Shaq and Kobe. He plays alongside Tim Duncan and their triplets. It's just, it's absolutely nuts. But yeah, he's had a charmed existence. But the reality is this: he was a versatile 6'10" guy that could put the ball on the floor as well as knock it down from deep, and was, you know, could guard several positions on the defensive end. So beyond him being, you know, just an all-around good guy and, you know, guy to have in your locker room.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt when you're pretty much just a basketball Swiss Army knife.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 6'10", can shoot threes and defend is pretty, like he...
I'll take that.
I think people would be less surprised if he was on a bunch of finals teams now. Not that they were surprised, but I feel like it, you know, that has become like the one of the most sought-after things in the league now.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of the league, playoffs...
Oh, the basketball league, the NBA basketball league.
Oh, the NBA basketball playoffs of the postseason of the National Basketball Association. Yes, yes. I mean, it's getting, I continue to be spoiled. I continue as a neutral. I'm Jabari, obviously, maybe people can deduce this at this point, but you and I are both, we're Angelinos and lifelong Laker fans. So we are watching this as neutrals this year. I'm liking what I'm seeing. I like that we had a few. I mean, there a lot of stuff happened over the weekend, and things are yet to happen. But what? How are you feeling? How's your heart feeling watching all the games?
It's going to sound crazy, but this is the most I've enjoyed, actually physically enjoyed, and you know the postseason mm-hmm. in you know a couple years. Obviously, the Lakers had a down stretch prior to you know the most recent years, but honestly, to your point, being in neutral makes it that much easier. You can just go into each game, each series, just as a fan. And yeah. I've been absolutely loving it.
Right. I had a few game fours where I was like, come on, even it up. Let's not go to a 3-1. And I got three of them. Three of my wishes were answered. And that was, I mean, again, just long may it last, because I think just the level of competition again is at a point where you can see just the sort of athletic conversation go back and forth of like, okay, you hold that L, let me go back. Now it's time for you to see what I can do. And yeah, I'm surprised even like people like my dad who get real casual with it are now really getting in the weeds, because I think it's easy to root for everybody you're watching too.
Yeah. There's like a level of like young talent that are, as we've talked about before, doing things we haven't seen before. There's also like as I talk about pretty regularly on this show, I'm like against the determinists, the people who seem to think every game is the final game of basketball ever played. And like when a team loses, they're like, blow it up. So from that respect, it was very fun to watch in one of those series. Donovan Mitchell come through, lob to Gobert for the game winning dunk. Jazz tie the series 2-2. Not usually like Earth's hugest Jazz fan, but that is the team I am pulling for in that series.
Here comes Mitchell. Gobert! Utah takes the lead!
Another moment, I'm like, fine, you know, go to 2-2. You know, just, yeah. Just to make it interesting. Because again, my heart, my purple and gold heart, usually doesn't have me pulling for the team in Utah. But again, I even found myself like, no. I like what I'm seeing. So let's allow this to continue to cook a little mm-hmm. bit.
I've just been taking your approaches. I'm ignoring what the name on the jersey says. I'm just looking for good basketball.
Right.
Just
right,
good
right.
basketball. And you know, to your point, Jack, the ending of that game was absolutely fantastic. You know, honestly, you hear all the dialogue, you hear folks, and you know, I won't, you know, weighed down by going too deep here, but you hear all of the stuff where, like, you know, to your point, where everything is die, you know, live or die, or if you, you know, if you lose, you're the worst, or any of that stuff. More than anything, I just appreciate basketball. So it doesn't matter. Like, I'm going to place aside my allegiances, you know, for this run, just this singular run. I'll be back being my, you know, usual toxic Lakers fan self next season. But for this one, it, you know, particularly, I'm going to enjoy.
Right.
One team, one young team that was not on my list of, like, all right, you know, I think we talked about the Nets potentially putting it together. It would be fun to see them make a deep run.
Doesn't look like that's happening.
As of yet, they are down 0-3 TBD, as of this recording. We'll
say. TBD.
And the game has already started, so their postseason might be over by the time you listen to this. But Golden State was one of the teams we were like, man, if they fall three of the Splash Brothers have it going and Clay is hot, and they've delivered. They've been a lot of fun to watch. I did not have the Pelicans on my list of, like, man, I am excited to watch these guys, and I was wrong.
Yeah,
I was very wrong.
I think I fell into the very sort of elementary analysis of a team where I'm like, well, Zion's out.
Right.
That can't be good for them. Therefore, my attention will go elsewhere. And no, I mean, Brandon Ingram's looking real good. That guy, that kid's looking like a real good basketball player, I gotta say.
Well, if we're being honest about it, you know, you and I have that extra little wrinkle when it comes to the Pelicans. While I'm certainly never going to be a Pelicans fan, the fact that Brandon Ingram is there, the fact that Larry Nance Jr. is there,
yeah,
there's a kinship. And plus, you know, it is fantastic to see Brandon Ingram kind of come into his own.
Yeah. And I think I feel even then, like, a part of me, you can see there are parts of especially Laker fans who will look at that and just, like, raise their fist to the heavens and things like that. But part of me also feels good. Like, when he was playing for the Lakers, I was like, there's something in there. This kid, he could do something. And to see it, I'm very happy for him because he's coming into his own. And I can't be mad at that.
So Ingram has been very exciting. He's, like, putting up, you know, 30 in some of these games. He's doing what I think a lot of people saw for him in the future. There's that one dunk where he drove into traffic and, like, a split second later, his head was at the rim.
Right.
And he was throwing it down in traffic. The Pelicans were up 71-68 in the third. It was, you know, a tough moment, like one of those playoff moments where they're like, well, you know, this is where the experience comes through. And he just came through. And there's something about the physics of him being, like, a little bit lighter than the other players that allows him to jump super high and super quick. And also, he's much stronger than I think people give him credit for, because he absorbs contact. And then, like I said, a split second later, his
hand is in the net.
Yes.
Right.
Jonas brought it. Brandon with contact.
Also, his smile coming back down the court. That's what I love, though, too. When you're like, yes, it, even when you're a professional and you're doing it still feels just as good all the time.
At the end of the day, they're playing a game. Like, I know we take this seriously, and obviously, you know, we're taking it as seriously enough for you guys to have a show about it. But at the end of the day, they're playing a game. And to Jack's point, it's fantastic to see him in his first playoff action, three consecutive 30-point games at one point. This is it feels like a coming out party. I'm really hoping that we get that.
I want to talk about Herb Jones. So I, like, it's legendary in our office. I am weirdly obsessed with that one Zion block where he in college, like, blocked a three that the person, like, squared up and started their shot when he was, like, under the rim. And then he just jumped and blocked a three, like, that had left the person's hand at seemingly, like, 5 seconds ago.
Right.
And so that's always just seemed amazing to me, because it's not a thing that you see players do that often, or that I could remember seeing, is, like, jumping across the lane and blocking a three. Herb Jones just did it twice in a single game. Herb Jones is a rookie for the Pels. This was the first time I had Googled him since his Alabama days. And I remember being like, he has so many tools. Like, he's real deal. And especially on defense, like, he has two blocks that again, appear impossible and appear like he's too far away for the player squaring up to shoot to even be considering that he's about to block their shot.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem like it even enters their mind.
It's, because like when I look at the blocks, I'm like, oh, right. Because what is he, like 7 feet tall? And you're like, no, he's 6'7".
Yeah, and 6'7" with just crazy wingspan. And also, yeah, just manages to stretch his body out and
hitting you with the go-go gadget rejection. Like let me just add a, like 4 feet to my arm really quick to just stuff this.
The corner. Paul, look away. Shamit corner. That's rejected by Herb Jones.
The length. Are you kidding me? One of
two.
That one, like, I don't even, in my mind, I'm like, yeah, that can't get blocked.
Right.
That's, and that's a
what,
good look.
That's what the offensive players are thinking. Right. Like, the one before that, the one on Mikal Bridges, for instance, when Mikal catches the ball, Herb's foot is still in the lane.
Yeah.
That's just, it doesn't make sense.
Right.
Yeah. And when you look back at the Zion clip, the dude setting up to shoot that shot has the windup that I had when I was in high school. Like, he is taking his sweet time. There's a hitch in the shot before he releases it. This is happening in an NBA game with like quick releases and people who are trained to like always know the correct amount of space before you let one go. And he's just getting up there and blocking it.
Yeah.
Every time.
Again.
So Herb Jones is very exciting.
Herb Jones. Yeah. I mean, it's like, as much as I love some good offensive play, a block, because they're not as, you know, they're not as frequent. So when they're done well and emphatically like that, you're just like, no. Those are those statement plays that you love to see.
May I offer your first Mad Boosties prediction from a gift?
Okay. Yeah.
Both of those two individuals that I mentioned, Herb Jones and Mikal Bridges, will be in the Defensive Player of the Year running for the next 5 to 10 years.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay.
Like, it in the running, meaning that they will be NBA players who are eligible? Or what are we talking about here?
Meaning I expect 2 or 3 awards from them over the next 5 years.
Wow.
I think they're that impactful. And it's kind of incredible to see from young players.
And look, I love the prediction. Adam Silver, I think you heard that. So this podcast will have to go for another 6 years to verify these claims. But I like that. I like those odds for sure.
It's also cool because like this was one of the first years Marcus Smart, of course, was the Defensive Player of the Year, came to the game last week rocking the Defensive Player of the Year like heavyweight championship bout robe, looked awesome. But it is, you know, people don't win that award at that size, and like generally it's not a perimeter player. Like the guy who wins Defensive Player of the Year, usually a big. Mm-hmm. And I just the sorts of things we're seeing with those sorts of blocks, you know, we've talked before about some jaw blocks, but it does feel like the perimeter defense game is something we're seeing people take to a new level. In the past couple of years.
And I mean we didn't even talk about the Celtics, but yeah, the defense being led by Marcus Smart, they play with a lot of energy and intensity.
Craziest thing about that is the fact that, you know, Time Lord, if he doesn't get injured, he probably wins Defensive Player of the Year. And, you know, I'm talking about his teammate.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's really a testament to the job that Ime Udoka has done.
Right. Yeah. And back on the Pels, Willie Green is, you know, doing an amazing job with that team. There was a comprehensive like attitude that they brought into that game when it came to you know, the Chris Paul matchups and like sort of the gamesmanship that was pretty cool to see. And you know, they started the season 1-12, so like that's impressive to just, you know, be unwavering in the face of that, but also like it indicates that they figured something out with 13 games of the season. Since that time, they've been pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they traded for CJ McCollum, who, amazing scorer. So it's exciting. It's an exciting series and an exciting team.
Yeah.
Whether they do it this year or not.
I'm up for surprises, too.
And, yeah, like we said, Golden State is delivering on us, saying most excited team potentially heading in. Kuminga, every once in a while you get a Kuminga dunk. Can we do a quick look at this Kuminga dunk real quick on breakaway?
Just to be our our concerned elderly viewers of the league. Like, you can't jump so high, kid. You're going to hurt yourself up there.
Yeah.
He's like, no, you can't.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. I'm like, I would die if I jumped that high, Jonathan.
Fall asleep or turn your head.
Just so they poke it away. Steph gets it ahead to him.
Here he comes.
He takes off from outside the lane. Jonathan Kuminga.
Those Jokic, fans behind the
business decisions.
They saw. Yeah.
Jokic puts a hand up, like is getting close to the ball. He just like moves it to the side and then like dunks it two-handed. And it's
as if in that moment, right? Like Joker's arm extension, I'm like, oh, is he trying to go there with me? Is that what he's trying to do? And I think once it processed that Joker was like, I don't need to get postured. even Kuminga midair is like, okay, so I don't need to do like power slam. And now he's like, but I have elevated. Okay, just get it in easy. It was just in the split second, you could see like all that control happening.
Yeah.
We've all played basketball at different levels. I shouldn't say I'm sure. I don't know if you guys have almost or been dunked on before. I have no problem with that business decision because, quite frankly, when you're coming up as a defender, you know your elevator doesn't go up that high.
Oh yeah.
So there's nothing at all wrong with that.
I mean, yeah. The only time I got out the way, the only time I had ever allowed myself to be dunked on, it was clear. It was like me versus the person who was coming with far too much velocity towards the hoop. I was like, I can't get up static. Like, I can't just gather from here and get up. I was like, nah, all right, see ya, have that.
I got dunked on conservatively 12 times in a single game by Dan Gedzurek.
come on.
Seven-footer. Eventually, he was a Bruin, right?
Yeah.
UCLA?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he came out of a small private school in New England. And, you know, I was there. I was like, you know what? I'll stick him. And it did not go well for me. Like two-handed dunks. It was very Shaq-like. It was like it was Shaq-like if Shaq were playing against a high school basketball team.
Right.
So, yeah.
Did it get to the point where so many dunks were like people in the audience were getting sick watching you get like posterized over and over, like, please, Jack, just stay down.
I think it was maybe his girlfriend. I don't know. One of the cheerleaders came over to him and she had a tear in her eye and she whispered something and he stopped dunking on me after that. So, but I mean, I'm not going to say he went easy on me. I think you could tell that I had had enough.
Right. And, he knew I was a real animal, you know, just being able to just eat those up every time.
Nom, 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 nom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give it to
really
me.
Really flip it on him. Be like, yeah, you like how I ate all those dunks? You're like, sir.
Yeah. If it makes you feel any better, Baron Davis matched up with my high school team and my senior year. Off the tip, he pinned our point guard against the backboard and then dunked on him.
Yeah.
Like pinned him against the backboard, took it on down and dunked right over the top of him. Shout out to my friend Eric. Like, sorry.
In the playoffs, my high school against Tyson Chandler, it was big problems for my high school playing against
Tyson. And I mean, it remains to be seen who, you know, which of those anecdotes is more embarrassing. Like, obviously, Baron Davis, one of the all-time greats. Tyson Chandler, contributor on a championship team. You know, but both of those things happening to other people that you knew versus me getting dunked on 13 times by Dan Gedzurek. we all have our rough moments, but who's to say which one is more embarrassing?
Yeah. I don't know. Listeners, write in. But the way I look, did Jack get posterized or did he eat those? Gobble them up.
Yeah,
those.
Gobble them up. You know, those are had I been a three-point specialist, it could have been part of a plan where, you know, he's taking twos, but I'm coming down draining the threes.
Right, unfortunately.
I was not a three-point specialist. So,
I was 0 for 13 that night.
but you were early analytics. Early.
Exactly. I was like, yeah, I'll take that too. I also fouled him on, you know, at least a dozen of those. So, all right. Well, let's talk about big men in a moment when we come back. I'm talking about Joel Embiid. We'll talk about him right after this.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. LifeLock monitors and alerts you to identity threats you may miss on your own, even if you're careful with your personal information. And if you do become the victim of tax-related identity fraud, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists ready to help solve identity theft issues on your behalf. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Why wait for your tax refund in vain? Help protect your information immediately with LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 25% your first year. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Identity theft protection starts here.
And we're back. And, you know, we have super producer Jabari on the show. He preps the doc every week. He knows I'm a Sixers fan. This week, he came through with, let's see what his one Sixers highlight was. It says former Sixer Thad Young, Sixer on Sixer crime. And it is Thad Young crossing up Joel Embiid to make him fall in game four when the Raptors beat the Sixers.
Yeah.
So what'd I don't know if though? We even need to watch that. It was that remarkable.
I think it was remarkable because I didn't know that this year the NBA was allowing players to wear winter skis on their feet while playing basketball. Or at least that's what it looked like based on the slipping I saw.
Fred sends it to Thad Young. Ooh. Former Sixer. Oh, yes, he did!
Being 300 pounds and moving in one direction, has trouble reversing direction, and Thad Young pulls up for a jumper. The game winner, or was that a game winner, Jabari? I was just curious if that was why he put it in.
That was not a game winner. Right.
Oh, that's not remarkable.
The Raptors did win that game, so that must be indicative of how the series is going, right? Because you put it in there. That must be the thing that sums up the Raptors-Sixers series. Oh, wait, no, okay. So the Sixers are up 3-1 as of this recording. So just one other thing that happened in this series was top three MVP candidate Joel Embiid accepted an inbounds pass with 0.9 seconds on the shot clock and 2 seconds left in overtime, tie ball game, hit a turnaround three, feathery soft. This man is the size of Shaq and has just the featheriest, lightest touch.
Even lighter. Lighter than a pile of spider webs. That's how light this touch was.
Yes. Feathers do not do it justice. Fall away.
That was clean, though.
That was so clean.
The body control that it takes to be able to do that, and you know, as a normal size person, let alone 7 foot.
I'm not joking. I almost hurt my back trying to wash, like scrub the lower part of my back in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy is full trunk rotation to like catch and shoot. Again, I am the furthest thing from a professional athlete. I'm a professional podcaster, which means shooting in the gym means 2K while sitting down. But yeah, that was very poetic too, because you know that arena has also been the site of some terrible emotions as well for Joel Embiid.
I'm not sure what you're talking about, but so this was a
never heard of
obviously
that. Never heard
pointed
of the
out. There was a lot of significance. This was game two, so this is the difference between it being a 2-2 series and a 3-1 series. This is the same arena where Kawhi Leonard put the fadeaway falling out of bounds jumper that bounced 14 times in the heart of Joel Embiid and Sixers fans. So it was cool for him to have this moment. So that was not in the doc. I had to add that one. Mm-hmm. So the thing that was in the doc was Thad Young making Joel Embiid fall down like he was on skates. The thing that was not was the amazing shot. The awkward celebration. That was one of the things I loved about it, is that he has not thought through what like cool thing to do after hitting a game winner. He's just jumping around like a 9-year-old who just opened a N64 on Christmas morning in the 90s, just jumping around, just pure joy. And then also has done away with throwing punches in the air, which I think is better for the health of him and everyone around him, since there have been moments where he like fist pumps and it comes within like an inch of like ending the game because somebody's face is right there. So I love it. I loved this moment. It put me in a good mood for 3 days in a row.
Great.
So
now, Jack, do you love this moment? I wasn't clear on that part. And was the touch feathery soft?
It was spider webbly soft.
right.
Just a spider web drifting in the breeze.
Truly. Again, I like the diversity of clips that we talk about on the show, because it gives us moments like this. On one hand, Jack, you had to gather yourself to watch that Young put Joel Embiid on roller skates. And then that gave you the emotion. You responded. You know what I mean? That was game one, Jabari. Then game two is Jack saying, well, what about this clip?
Mm-hmm.
Really, it was a test. It was a test, because remember a few weeks ago, we all agreed we were going to go into this and, you know, essentially cheer for other teams other than our own.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to see how Jack was going to react.
Right. Now, exactly.
I see how it is. Okay.
Right. Could you hand out some roses right there with that?
Like, does that mean that we can't even talk about when one of our teams has the defining game winning shot of the playoffs so far? We just leave that out? Is that so? We're doing that. Okay.
I guess you got a point there. Yeah, look, Jack, you've been making content a lot longer than I have, and at a higher level than I have.
Come on, guys.
Yeah.
You're going to sound like that one guy, Bobby, from another sports podcast.
Never heard of it. So I also want to talk about the Nuggets and one Nikola, the Joker, Jokic, because they've had a rough go because they're playing the Golden State Warriors.
Yes.
And
with sixth man of the year, Steph Curry.
Down 0-3, exactly. Down 0-3, they put together a gutty win in which he made the perfect pass for the game winner, which is what he's been doing all season. He also predicted, so they pulled him for defensive reasons, and also I think just to like give him a little extra gas on the offensive end. But he was from the bench telling the players who remained in the game, the Nuggets who remained in the game, exactly what play the Warriors were about to
lob over the top.
Yeah. And they intercepted the lob. Then he came back in, threw the perfect pass. And we've had on here for a while, Jokic's passing this season is one of the coolest things I've seen anywhere in basketball. Like, he has these bounce passes or outlet passes that seem like they're traveling around people's legs or just like passing through their bodies like they're force ghosts.
Right. Like, it's like the timing of like, it's the equivalent of like those those like optical illusion things are like, focus on this thing in the room. And they're like, I bet you didn't notice there were 19 bears in the background playing hopscotch because you were focused on this. It's like the timing of his passes is like the same equivalent of those kinds of exercises. You're like, well, that's not a passing angle, or that's not the moment to pass the ball. And then he exploits that with a mastery that we've, you know, not really been able to see for some time.
Yeah. The outlet passes. Let's start with the outlet passes here real quick.
Jokic with the block shot, his second tonight. Oh,
so that was a look off where, again, the look off is so complete that he throws it right through the hands of an opposing player.
It's audacious because this speed is not moving out of inhumane, like, I could barely keep up with where the ball was. It's just a quick, no, I'm looking over here. And yeah. Everyone's like, okay, but no. No look, boom.
He's not a good passer for a center. He's a great passer. He's a great
playmaker. In general, yes.
His feeling for the game is that of like one of the great point guards. It's absurd.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we were talking about Melo a couple weeks back with Roy Wood Jr., like that, their passing reminds me, like when Melo's at his best and throwing those passes that, again, feel like, yo, why, how are they not getting picked off? But it's because nobody saw them coming except for the player. Those two remind me of each other, but Melo is like a point guard who, you know, his passing was the most heralded thing about his game, and Jokic is also putting up, you know, 28 and 10. All right, here, this one is, he gets a pass in the high post, and immediately, I think this is the one where he immediately throws it over his head without having looked behind him to see that there's a teammate there or where the opposing players are.
Yeah. It looks like, again, a move I would have tried after seeing the Harlem Globetrotters for the first time as a kid and trying to do something like that in the game, except I would have just threw it out of bounds and like, what was that?
This year. And under Barton couldn't convert over the
But the placement of that as well, you notice he doesn't just hit him. He throws it to a location where only he could have caught it. The defender's on his back.
For those who aren't watching, he catches it, kind of looks over one shoulder, and then gives a second where he's looking in front of him and then throws it directly over his head like, you know, like somebody who's never played basketball before and is just giving up.
Right.
But, and it goes within 1 inch of the three defenders between him and his teammate that he's passing it to. But because the timing is so perfect, it's like one of those like Aaron Rodgers passes where he drops it into like one square inch that only his receiver could get it. But he's doing it without looking over his head.
Right.
And when you watch it in extreme slow motion, you notice that like the ball will pass over a defender's head and then like his reflexes will catch up and he'll like put his hands up, but it will have just passed over his head. So
late.
Again, like just a level of having figured things out that, I don't know. It seems inhuman. Like he has that thing. When I'm talking about LeBron, like I think LeBron, when he has the ball in his hands, is making, it's like a chess computer
right. That
like knows every single angle and is 30 moves ahead. Like he's always making the right play. And I feel like Jokic is doing that too. And it's wild to watch.
And to Miles's point, he's doing it like at like half speed for NBA players.
Yeah,
like,
right.
He's just like, just methodically plodding along and boom, got you.
It feels like me playing with like older uncles or cousins who like weren't as fit, but they were smarter. They're like, I've played so much more basketball than you. Watch me just face my chest in this direction. And you're going to be completely disoriented when I'm start, you know, just throwing no looks and things like that. And I really enjoy watching him because he's such a cerebral player and he's playing in a way that feels like he has like his own way of playing. And like even to that point of him calling out that lob that Austin Rivers ended up intercepting, you know, he said it after the game. He's like, you know, we watch so much tape and he's like, I could just see the shape and I knew what was going on. And I think the fact that he's so in like intuitively already doing all that kind of analysis all the time and his, you know, real asymmetrical passing is just, it really throws people off. And I always say this about European players. I really think the reason that their passing is so good is from soccer, because that's a bigger sport out there. And that's all about predicting where someone's going to be, putting the ball there, drawing a defender out by first, you know, rotating. Like a lot of those fundamentals apply to basketball, but we see them in different ways. Like, I feel like Pau Gasol really brought that to the Lakers too early on. And I was like, wait a second. And this is like coinciding when like the Spanish national team was doing very good in soccer. I was like, no, this all makes sense. Like, the fluidity of passing is people are using different parts of the brain when they're coming from Europe.
Yeah, there's another pass we'll put in the footnotes. For this episode where he throws it again at a weird angle that travels all the way across the court. And it's also not clear like how his arms are making the ball move, because the pass is like at such a strange angle. It's like sort of a sidearm like behind him pass. But again, it just leaves the defenders looking like my kid chasing a butterfly, because the ball is right there. They're just like, ah, gotta be extra.
All right, one more time, Joker. I'll get it this time. You're not gonna get me this time.
Yeah. Like, even more demoralizing than getting dunked on 12 times in a single game.
Exactly. No. Like, more demoralizing than eating up 12 dunks and not getting knocked down.
Nom nom nom
nom nom nom.
Every time he dunked on me. Nom 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 nom. He's like, this dude is so weird.
Why does he keep making that sound?
So that's Jokic.
It turns out he's pretty good.
Yeah, but passing like does feel to me, I don't know about you guys, but it feels to me like it's just getting better and better. They're shooting from deeper. People talk about that a lot, but the passing is just like some of the passes are so dope and next level. And like it doesn't make sense with the conscious mind how they knew to do that.
I wonder if it has to do with, I mean, obviously there's still one-on-one play. There's still plenty of isolation ball, but there's less and less of it in more of, you know, motion offense. I wonder if it has to do with that, you know, players and teams just simply having to pay more attention to detail.
Yeah.
When it comes to those things.
Well, the players are becoming more and more complete, you know, that we're seeing these big men with like soft hands can just have ridiculous vision. I can only imagine what that's going to do down the road, because we're inherently just kind of like the sport is evolving, because we don't see like kids developing and be like, I'm going to learn to do this one thing really well. It's like, no, I want to be as complete as I can be.
Chet Holmgren, he's coming out this year in the draft. He's 7'3" or 7'4".
Right.
And like, he has ball skills, can do everything on the court. I agree with you.
All right, let's take another quick break and then we'll come back and talk about some mic'd ups.
The 82 game preseason is in the books. And it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
And we're back. And before we get to favorite mic'd up moment of the week, Jabbar, we do like to ask our guests, as you know, what's the craziest thing you've ever seen somebody do on a basketball court?
Honestly, over the years, there have been so many things, but I'll say my favorite of the crazy things was it came on a play, I think from the 2003 season, if I'm not mistaken, where it's on an inbound. Ori is taking the ball out. He throws a length of the court pass to Kobe, who catches it in stride, goes around the back with it, and then does like a 180 on top of a Denver Nugget. I don't even remember who the guy was. But being able to do all of that at the same time in one fluid motion, probably the craziest thing I've seen.
And again, since we love making comparisons to other sports, that's like catching a like Hail Mary pass, but then still having to put it around your back and then do a 360 dunk. Right.
All in one motion with the defender right there in your grill.
Right.
Yeah.
Because Jabbar, you grew up in LA. Mm-hmm. I'm from LA. We very quickly were like, okay, we're both from the Valley. We started talking. We're like, wait, where did you play? Who do you know? What have you seen? And very quickly we realized that there are parts of the Valley where we may very well have been at the same place at the same time. And I guess what's interesting, I want to ask you, right, because I respect your basketball pedigree, your acumen, and that you do know the Valley. Is there a basketball culture in the San Fernando Valley? And what has that? What have you seen by being in the Valley playing basketball?
Without a doubt. So, for one, back in the day, the Tarzana Recreation Center Adult League, you know, all types of former players or guys that were playing overseas and all types of actors that actually had some game, they used to play in that. But in particular, one that we've shared the same experience. Do you remember the old Genesta Park days?
Yeah.
Where, I'll be honest with you, out there, for instance, you might have Shaq and Pete Rose watching you play basketball.
Right.
And then out of nowhere, Brian McKnight will come up. there was one, I can remember a Saturday.
Brian McKnight.
There you go.
Cross your mind. That Brian McKnight?
No time. Yes, that Brian McKnight.
Was he counting out the buckets? He made them? Yeah.
No, what he did
Brian, could you keep score for us?
Yeah, Brian, keep score. Exactly. No, what he did was he came up to a park where there were four games waiting, and he said, who's got next? I told him me. He offered me $5, and I said, I think I'm good, man. I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to wait an hour and a half. Yeah.
Also, Brian, aren't you Brian McKnight? You're giving me $5?
I'm just saying.
Let's negotiate something here.
But Genesta Park was at least – at the time when we were coming up, it was definitely the spot.
Did you ever catch the eye of any of these luminaries who were courtside?
That's what I was saying. Like there were, for one, as crazy as it sounds, Shaq was there on a semi-regular basis. That.
Yes.
Like at night, he would roll up at 10:30, 11:30 at night, sometimes even 12 o'clock. But there was one night in particular. And I think we determined that this is the time where we were in the same space at the same time, you know, 20 years before knowing one another, where the example I gave wasn't a joke. Pete Rose and Shaq were watching and critiquing us play. I don't know why, but I chose to dive for a ball. This is an outdoor court, asphalt. Pete Rose loved it so much he stood up and Shaq gave me the that's right. Good job.
Oh, man. Charlie Hustle and a big Shaq Diesel thumbs up.
Wow.
That took place.
Yeah. Yes. I would get that.
I mean, those are two people with some of the most famous diving onto, obviously, Pete Rose, Charlie Hustle, he revolutionized the sliding game, right? Head first, just reckless. And then Shaq had that one. I mean, he's had a couple, but when he would just slide across the court and nothing was stopping him because he is
an he's pretty big guy. Object.
Pretty big.
Yeah.
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 So yeah, I had my Shaq and Pete Rose moment. Yeah.
I mean, I know why you dove on that court. You were inspired. That like, how do you not dive on the court? But that's very cool.
Jack, I'm also a madman, so like it was one of those where I just didn't think about it and said, "Oh, well, you're here."
Yeah,
here we are.
Madman, you know, a lot of injuries from reckless diving, but hey, it happens.
Yes,
it happens.
There are a couple clips like you pulled once again, Kevin Durant, big fan, also great at calling out like when a young player is going to be good. That you pulled out this clip from November, where he played against NBA Rookie of the Year, Scotty Barnes. And somebody was like, what do you think of Scotty Barnes? And he just had, here, let's play the clip, actually. It's like very just clear and concise and a great description of Scotty Barnes.
Hey, Kevin. In terms of Scotty Barnes, can you tell me what you saw from him tonight in terms of his competitiveness that he brings to the court and just the will to win? And is that at all rare for rookies in this league?
No, I don't think it's rare. I mean, you got a lot of guys who love to compete and love to win. But what's more rare about Scotty Barnes is his IQ for the game, his length, his enthusiasm for the game. All of that stuff shines bright when you watch him play. And you know, you could tell he just want to be there for his teammates. He makes winning basketball plays. But I think a lot of young guys in the league had that competitive fire, but he has something a little extra as far as just seeing the game a little slower, you know, and that's rare for a guy. How old is he? 19? 20? I mean, geez. You know, he knows how to play the right way, and he's only going to get better.
Honestly, beyond him having a clear eye for talent, I appreciate that he just gives it up. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that other NBA players don't do that, because you do see that. But Kevin Durant, considering, you know, he's literally an all-time great, he shows the new players, the old players, he shows everybody the same amount of love. If you're a hooper, you know, you've got KD as a fan. And I really do appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that comes with you like the great players who know they're great. They have no issue with watching the game progress past the things that they could do. You know what I mean? Like, I think they're okay. Jack's pulling faces over there.
Sometimes.
I'm talking about, you know, but I'm saying that is a sage-like wisdom that comes with it.
Yeah.
Putting your ego aside, now that's its own thing, obviously. But I think you can only arrive at that level, like where Durant is giving it up like that, because he understands that things evolve, that things change, that he also has his own level of skill and talent that he possesses and is able to identify that, and doesn't have to be like, well, I wouldn't have done this or this or anything. He's like, wow, that's cool. Okay. Wow. Okay. You know, it's like it feels like he feels good that he sees the game being put into the hands of people that he also feels respected and are going to, you know, push it forward.
Yeah. All right. Well, that has been another episode of Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties in the books. Jabari, such a pleasure having you on mic. Where can people find you, follow you, hear you, all that good stuff?
The pleasure is truly mine to be on the mic with two legends. Jabari Davis, NBA on Twitter, a.k.a. Joel Embiid's biggest fan.
Mm-hmm. Clearly.
Easiest place. I appreciate the opportunity for, you know, it was mentioned earlier, but make sure you check out NBA Finals File. Episodes will drop each Tuesday and Thursday. It's with myself and Robert Ori. And basically, it's me fanboying with an all-time great about the greatest moments and matchups in finals history. Oh,
I can't imagine a better person to like pair Robert Ori with, who has like the wits about them to pick that brain. So y'all definitely check that show out for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Miles, where can people find you?
Just at Miles of Gray. And check, you know, Jack and I are always doing the Daily Zeitgeist. You don't need to know about. I'm just nobody. I'm just in the.
They might. Facility.
Yeah. Know. Anyway, yeah. Or you know, come unleash your hot takes at me at Miles of Gray, Gray though.
And you can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. And we really would appreciate it if you would go rate, review, subscribe to the podcast Miles and Jack at Matt Boosties.
Yes, this one.
Yes, because I keep trying to use this as proof that I have Mad Boosties, but I think we need more reviews and ratings.
Please, we need y'all to comment in the reviews. Write us a review, because right now Dan Gedzurek is only talking about how many times he dunked on Jack. So we need to offset some of those reviews with people saying it sounded like Jack actually gobbled up those dunks every time, and you came with
like
nothing.
Hungrily, yeah, with his greed.
Oh, good.
Greedily
America
gobbled
runs
up those dunks.
America runs on Duncan.
Yep. All right. We will be back next week. Thanks, guys. Bye.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.